Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Ready?
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready!
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes.
So ready.
This is KMOX, the trusted voice of St. Louis.
And this is Overtime.
It is 8:33, and welcome to a rainy Tuesday morning. I'm Debbie Monterey. Good morning, Charlie Brennan.
Well, good morning, Debbie. Welcome back.
Thank you, and hello to Brad Young of Harris Dowell Fisher & Young.
Debbie, great to be with you this morning.
All right, it's kind of a weird day out there, a little cloudy, foggy, misty. It was pouring in the wee hours of the morning. So if you're wondering while you're driving in, why are there puddles everywhere? It came down in buckets, so we'll keep you posted all day. Let's talk about refugees. President Biden is in New York today to make a big speech about a number of topics, and no doubt he'll be asked questions about this. He intends to increase to 125,000 the number of refugees who can enter the United States in the fiscal year beginning October 1st. In May, Biden raised the refugee admissions cap for the current fiscal year from 15,000 to 62,500. And this comes while the administration is flying thousands of Haitian refugees back home. Charlie, I don't know if you saw some of the footage on TV, but it was not great optics. Men on horseback rounding up Haitians. It seemed like they were whipping them with the reins of the horse or something. People fleeing earthquakes and political corruption.
Yeah. Well, I will cut the Border Patrol officers and the police officers some slack. What I read in the Wall Street Journal is that they were like waving whips near them, but I didn't hear that they were whipping them. But it's a really uncontrolled human disaster that's going on at the border right now. And the locals are overwhelmed. This morning's report is that 16,000 Haitians are on the border in Del Rio, and the population is 35,000. So I'm cutting slack to local authorities. However, I'm not cutting slack for the president. He is going to accept, he says, about 125,000 refugees this year. And that's just what President Barack Obama brought in. And yet we have tens of millions of refugees worldwide. And in our country right now, we have 10.9 million available jobs. So if each one of those 125,000 refugees took a job, that means there are still 10,775,000 jobs for Americans who are living here. So I say bring them in, have them work. And I know a lot of our listeners are afraid of crime, but if you look at our cities that are heavily immigrant, they have much lower crime rates than many cities like ours, which have fewer immigrants.
Brad?
Yeah, absolutely bring them in. But for those 125,000 that we're talking about, are they going to be vetted? Are we going to make sure that they're vaxxed? Okay, right now, President Biden is trying to mandate vaccines on people who are already in this country, but is he going to be requiring vaccinations for those entering the country? We don't know that yet. And the other question that I have about the Haitians is, why are the Haitians being singled out here to send them home? We have lots of people who are coming across the border every single day who are not being sent back with the same viciousness as they are going to be sending back the Haitians. So I'm wondering about the difference here, but more importantly, I want to make sure that those increases for immigration, that those people are vetted, so we're not bringing in terrorists.
It's impossible to do. Well, Brad, you know, there are no terrorists that we know of in Haiti, so there's that. I mean, have you heard of a single terrorist incident in Haiti? Now, there are thugs and there are gangs, and that's absolutely true. But did we, for example, vet the inhabitants of the Pinta, the Maria, the Santa Maria, whatever those ships were? How about Columbus's boats?
Maybe we should have.
Let's face it, our nation was built from scallywags who were losers in Europe. Okay, they didn't come here because they were rich and powerful. They were down and outers. And I know that it's not popular to hear among Americans, but our ancestors were really not at the top of the pecking order.
But Charlie, there's a huge difference, though, Charlie. When our immigrants, when the Nina and the Pinta and the Santa Maria showed up, they didn't instantly qualify for Social Security disability benefits. And they didn't show up and say to the Native Americans, please give us food and please start taking care of us 24/7. So that's the difference.
Oh, give me a break.
Okay, refugees are not taken care of 24/7. That is a fallacy.
Jose Ortiz has a wonderful piece, column. You know, he used to be a sports columnist, and he points out that Zach Calzado, who's the starting quarterback for Texas A&M, and by the way, he's a sophomore who's doing a really good job. I think they're ranked number 5th in the nation, the Aggies are. Well, his grandfather came to St. Louis as a refugee from Cuba, worked at the Chase Hotel. He worked in manufacturing. He loved the people of St. Louis, especially Webster Groves, because the Christian church there embraced him. He did very well. Soon he was working for TRW in Atlanta. His son and his grandson, his granddaughter are doing really well at Texas A&M. That's the immigrant experience.
All right, we'll take a break there. I could tell the experience of my parents. I'm a first-generation American.
And your kids are immigrants.
My kids are immigrants. Yes.
And they're not in gangs, and they're not terrorists.
Although that is a fallacy, that refugees get taken care of and that the government pays all this stuff for them and sets them up. You see all of this stuff on Facebook, and none of that's true.
They get some benefits for
a few months. They get help with housing. If they got help getting to this country, they have to pay all of that back. So they really, it's not like a cushy gig to be a refugee. It's still pretty tough. It's 8:39. We'll take a break. And when we come back, oh my gosh, what happened just a few blocks from the KMOX studios? We'll talk about that after traffic and weather.
The Cards and Brewers are back at it again tonight. It's game 2 of their 4-game series in Milwaukee. Hear it here. Emmer and pregame show 5:45. First pitch 6:40. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX and KMOX.com.
It's 8:42. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Brad Young and Charlie Brennan. This was not the news we want to hear. There was a candlelight vigil going on Monday night in downtown St. Louis for a homicide victim. And at that candlelight vigil, someone pulled up and started shooting. One person killed, 3 others wounded. This was at St. Charles and 20th Street in downtown West. And Police Chief John Hayden was there at the scene. There were children at this candlelight vigil when somebody decided to open fire from a car. 2 women were shot in the head. 1 woman shot in the leg. Police offered no details about who died or the conditions of the wounded. Brad, what were your thoughts when you heard this?
Well, first of all, obviously, my thoughts went to how tragic this is for those who show up at a vigil to honor someone who's been shot, and then someone gets shot and 3 more are wounded. Someone's shot and killed and others are wounded at that. I mean, obviously that's atrocious. It's emotionally gut-wrenching, but it really demonstrates the crime problem that we're dealing with in the city of St. Louis. And if you look at Mayor Tishara Jones's solution for this, it's simply to reassign about 50 police officers from other areas, not to add 1 extra or new police officer, but just reassign police officers from other areas to ride on bikes for up to 6 weeks. That's her solution. And that is literally rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. We need more police. We need more emphasis on stopping crime and solving crime, and simply reassigning police from other areas is not the solution.
Yeah, that's only weekends too, the mayor's plan. But what can she do? Because she does have crime in other neighborhoods, and she's down more than 100 police officers. Maybe because some of them didn't like the attitude she had toward police officers, so they left for St. Charles and St. Louis County. Nonetheless, this happened, ladies and gentlemen, one block from police headquarters. Maybe that's why John Hayden was there. I mean, he might have just walked out of his office to see what's going on. That in and of itself tells you a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it is rearranging the deck chairs, but if you only have so many deck chairs and you can't get more, what else do you do? I don't even know.
Remember a couple weeks ago, they talked about bringing the sheriff's department to downtown St. Louis, and members of Vernon Bett's team would walk along Washington Avenue. I don't know what happened to that, but
I mean, they used to do that. They were doing it last year.
They were supposed to. Yeah, right.
Okay, well, we'll take a closer look into that one. Let's talk about a proposed development for Webster Groves, Charlie. The developers of this $320 million development are asking the city for the option to use eminent domain to force property owners to sell. And this is always an issue if you're a private owner of a house or a business and somebody comes along and says, well, we can take this from you. What's your thought on this?
Well, that's a really bad position for the current owner, because even if the developer says we're only going to use eminent domain, that is taking your property as a last resort, as long as they have that option in their back pocket, the property owner's negotiating position is diminished. So it's really unfair. I know the Supreme Court has ruled that it's okay to take private property for private purposes. I happen to feel it's immoral if someone buys a piece of property. I think it could be taken for a hospital or a highway, maybe a school, maybe, but not for 700 apartments, 100 condos, and 100,000 square feet of commercial space. And that's apart and aside from the question of what's going to happen to this area, North Gore and Kirkham. It's one of the most attractive, pleasant, people-friendly sections of the greater St. Louis area. And like so many projects in St. Louis, we think that one big development is the big key and the cure. I think it'll ruin it.
Brad?
Yeah, the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution specifically allows for eminent domain, but only for public use. And we've twisted this idea of public use and construed it to mean, well, it's public use, even if we're taking private property from one person and giving it to another person for their own private use, just because the public might get to shop there, that's a public use, and it's not. And so to me, it is a violation of our concept of private property if that private property can be forcibly taken from you to build a Walmart or to build condos or to build other things that are owned for private use, not used for public use. And I think it's outrageous. And at some point, we need to kind of rein in this public, or rather eminent domain abuse that we've seen time and time again.
All right, we are going to talk more about censorship when we return for round three of OT. It's Brad Young, Charlie Brennan, Debbie Monterey, 847.
This is Overtime
on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
It's 852, Charlie Brennan, Brad Young, I'm Debbie Monterey. All right, the removal of an LGBTQ history exhibit from the Missouri Capitol is still causing some waves. It was removed because some conservatives had complained, and then when other people questioned it, they were told, oh, they didn't follow procedure, and I guess that wasn't actually true. The National Coalition Against Censorship has now written to Governor Parson, and they say this act of censorship flies in the face of the First Amendment obligations of both the state of Missouri and Jefferson City. Do you think it's illegal censorship, Charlie, or just bad optics?
Well, I read the center's letter, and it seems pretty convincing. I'd like to hear what Brad has to say about that, that they say that the government should not be editing art or free expression. In this case, it's a cultural exhibit. The administration of Mike Parson said that the exhibit was improperly installed after it didn't consult with the Board of Public Buildings. And then we find out the Board of Public Buildings hadn't been consulted for any exhibit over the previous 20 years. So they removed this exhibit, which was rather dry history, very matter of fact, into this little auxiliary building called the Lohman Building. You walk in the door, you have to open a conference room, and there, kind of like in a closet, you'll now find the exhibit. I think it's shameful that this is happening in 2021, and so I'm trying to do two things. One, raise a little bit of money, get the exhibit reproduced, and find a place to install it here in St. Louis. And number two, if any listeners feel like I do, that the governor should reinstall it, we'll add your name to a petition at cwbrennan@kmox.com. Just email me.
Brad?
Wow. Well, here's the way I see it. There is no requirement that the government has to display that. Now, is it a bad idea? We can debate whether it's a bad idea or not, but it certainly isn't illegal, because censorship is the suppression of speech. And in this instance, not wanting an exhibit isn't a suppression of speech, no more than if, say, for example, the state of Vermont decided to remove an exhibit because it was religious in nature. Would the National Coalition Against Censorship be upset if some exhibit were removed that was religious in nature? Probably not. And so in this instance, that would not be censorship, even if it were an exhibit that showed Moses handing down the Ten Commandments. That would not be censorship, nor is this. But we can certainly debate whether it was a good idea or not.
All right, real quickly, the Cherokee Indian statue at the corner of Cherokee and Jefferson was taken down. It was put up in the 80s. The majority of the neighborhood association apparently voted in favor of removing it, and the man who created this statue voted in favor of removing it. But some people say this is rewriting history, and they're upset about it. If everyone in that neighborhood said it was okay, is it okay, Brad?
Well, of course it's okay. Certainly if the folks in the neighborhood want it down, it's okay. At the end of the day, though, they may be voting for something or agreeing with something that ultimately will hurt them, because Cherokee Street is known in part because of this particular exhibit or statue. And if that gets removed, that might remove some of the flavor of that neighborhood because of the name. Now, if they want it down, you bet they should take it down, but it may hurt them in the end.
Funny, I was just reading John Meacham's book about Thomas Jefferson. There was a Cherokee chief by the name of, I think, Ostrasset, who visited the Jefferson, spoke at his home, and then traveled to England and met with King George III. Didn't even know it. But that has nothing to do with that statue, of course. I think I'll live a good life without that statue being there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.